this in a while. Find somebody. This should be easy today because we don't have a heavy crowd. Find somebody you don't know. And if you know everybody, which I doubt, find one person, just one person. This won't take a long time. Find somebody you don't know. Introduce yourself. Let's be the friendliest church in town. Amen. Move out of your seat. Well, thank you, Jesse Ann. I've been buried this week. I don't know which one. I've read some of yours. Let me turn this mic off. I love that song. I love a lot of songs that we worship with. And I've had some influence on that through the years, and now it's, I don't need to influence anybody, it's what they do. But I love songs like that because I don't know if you recognize the different scriptures that were seen and reflected in that song. How many know His name is above every name? There is no power like His, no foe that can stand against Him. I couldn't help but, as we were going through there, look with me at Philippians. This has nothing to do with my message, this is just for fun. Amen. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort, how many can use a little comfort and love right now? If there is any, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy in that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let me read it again. There we go. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Let this mind, the word mind there, you could circle it, underline it, and put attitude, a way of thinking. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's really bad King James for He who was from the Father, one with the Father. I and my Father are one. How many are glad for Jesus today? The I am that I am, manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Shall I continue? And here he says, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of, or himself, the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How many are glad for freedom today? How many are glad for freedom today because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? He whom the Son has set free, come on, are you here today, is free indeed. I don't care what's going on around us, our freedom is secured in Jesus. Today is Memorial Day. In the same spirit, remembering those who paid the ultimate price so that we could enjoy this kind of freedom. Shed blood. I find it interesting that God chose, it seems, you know, I've heard people attack, atheists attack the gospel, that it's a bloody religion, and they don't understand. God in His infinite wisdom and knowledge knew that a fallen world, no matter who you were, no matter what part of the earth you were from, what language, how ignorant or advanced you may be, whatever the case, there was one thing that would universally be understood all over the world, is that freedom is only won and is only maintained through shed blood. And it's a sad truth. It's a reality of the world that we live in until Jesus, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, returns and rules and reigns. That will end finally. The legal aspect of that is already done. We're awaiting our final day of redemption, His soon return. Whatever soon is, soon could be 50 years, it could be 100 years, it could be 500 years, and I'll touch on that more later. But His soon return, in light of history, his soon return, when he'll come rule and reign. But in the meantime, how many are glad for the name of Jesus that is above every name? I was going somewhere with that, and I forgot where I was going. Oh, well, I'll pick it up later. Let me continue here, and then maybe I'll. He says, let this mind be in which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And there it is, freedom, paid for with precious blood, every freedom. He knew that one thing that would be a universal language to every creed, every tribe, every tongue, every nation for the history of mankind would be the aspect of the price of freedom by blood. Isn't that amazing? And today we honor and recognize those that have paid the ultimate price. Would you lift your hands with me today for families of the fallen? Today we speak peace and grace and strength over them in Jesus' name. Would you say with me, everybody together, we remember. Yeah. Blessing and grace and peace. In the same mode right now. Wouldn't it be awesome if the people of God, instead of joining all the confusing and conflicting teaching concerning last days, we just took what Scripture said and began to lift our voice and began to prophesy of a future when the church will rise strong, when evil will be exposed, when the church begins to assume its position, when what Paul prophesied, till we all come into the universe. Wouldn't it be awesome if there were a people of God that stood up and began to say the opposite of even what the church is saying, begin to stand and believe and declare and trumpet that great is our God, great is our King Jesus, great is our Lord. This doesn't have to be the end. We can stand and make a difference. You need to open up your mouth. It's time that you get angry about the right thing. Are you here today? It's time you get angry about the right thing. Righteous indignation. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But there is a place for anger against evil and unrighteousness to stir you to action. You know, we Pentecostals and Charismatics, we're great on a chill bump, but not much for action. In Jesus' name, I pray that we can stir our hearts and our faith today to the point where we begin to rise up and say, no more. In my little sphere of influence, in every way that I can. How many love Jesus today? All right, let me just finish here. I'm preaching already, and this wasn't even my message. So here we go. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things of in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen sooner or later, people. We're on the winning side. Are you here today? In the same spirit, Father God, we lift up President Trump. I don't care what his past looks like. I don't care where he came from. You can raise up whomever you will if your people are crying out for the right thing and standing. And Father God, today for President Trump, I believe that you are moving on his heart, that you are moving through him. Thank you for a man who had the guts to stand and say, executive order, we're going to have church on Memorial Day weekend. And any governor who defies that is going to deal with me. And if they have a problem, they can call the White House, but they're not going to get very far because this is the way it's going to be, period. And he walks off the stage. Father, today, come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, today, for that man, we lift him up in Jesus' name. What a shame that we have born again, spirit filled believers who attack, make fun of me. People who used to attend this church, love them, bless them, speak good over them, don't react to them, don't argue, don't respond, love, bless, but you also open up your mouth and stand for what is right. I'm thankful for a man who has stood against abortion. I'm thankful for a man who has sought to get prayer back in our schools. I'm thankful for a man who identified corruption called the deep state, that isn't just here, but all over the world. I'm thankful for a man today who stands in a very precarious and dangerous position, and it is our place. If we don't like him, the only thing we should do is pray for him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, praying for kings and those in authority so that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Listen, it's time we wake up and realize that. Father, today we lift up President Trump and all those that surround him, Vice President Pence, and all of those different ones, the various men and investigations and exposing evil at its core. Let justice, come on. We got a group out there that loves to talk about social justice. Love to talk about social distancing. Ringing a bell at all, people. Social change. Right on down the line. It's nonsense. Recognize the spirit behind these things. Today, in Jesus' name, we lift up our president. We lift up the man you've put in power. And today, we stand boldly and speak over him. And we prophesy in Jesus' name that this nation will not fall prey. Listen, you may think this sounds crazy. Who am I? Sometimes I feel that way. Well, I'm preaching to the choir, right? You probably wouldn't be here. A lot of people aren't having church. So I realize I'm preaching to the choir, and it's easy to preach to the choir. But hopefully I'm stirring some of you to preach to your choir. And use your talents, and use your gifts, and use your abilities. You that know how to do websites, you know how to get online and help people do petitions. Whatever you got to do, raise your voice. Put the video up. If they take it down, put it back up under another name. Keep fighting. Keep doing your thing. Let your voice be heard. This isn't a political thing. It's about freedom and righteousness. Are you here today? Can you tell I'm a little bit fired up? I am. Okay. So at any rate, I spent all day Saturday, Friday and Saturday, about half angry, suppressing it, trying to enjoy conversations, all of this just churning and rolling on the inside of me. It's time Pentecostals and Spirit-filled people, Christians, period, move from a chill bump to action. Let faith find her voice. Everything that ever happened in the kingdom of God and in his processes from creation to now happened because somebody, starting with God, opened their voice and spoke from their toes a belief that moves mountains. Freedom was not won by cowards. The blood that we honor today were people who set their own freedom and their own desires and dreams aside so that we would enjoy freedom. Where is this? I'll tell you where it's at. Tommy sent me a text last week of a man of 3,000 churches before Trump gave his executive order, said we're joining together and we're going to open up church and we're going to have church in defiance of Gavin Newsom. It amazes me. It amazes me how that coward comes out afterwards and pretends that he came out with the idea first. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And then when he ended his little 20-minute thing that he did, spoke of, are you ready? Contact tracing and how important it is. And how necessary it is that under any means possible, hiring an army force of people that they would train to literally identify people in their disease, with the so-called disease, go into homes and take out children. He used the words right here. You ready? Trace, quarantine, isolate. I'm going to repeat this. I'm going to read something that I dictated to Jackie, and she typed it as fast as she could, and then I'm going to read it, and that'll be the bulk of my message. So I guess I'm sliding over from what I was talking about in reference to the song and already into my message. But this is a powerful name, the name of Jesus. Isn't the time to weaken? This is the time to be strong. What I started to say a minute ago, it may sound crazy in this setting. Who am I? Who are we? I'll tell you who we are. Children of the Most High God. My dad, back in the early 80s, moved from Guatemala. Central America was war-torn. In the time that I was there as a young man, a short four-year period, less than 4 years, over 20,000 kidnappings. Untold deaths that took place in Guatemala alone. Nicaragua was on the precipice of falling. El Salvador. Nicaragua had fallen in 76. Good friends of mine ran out, literally fled Guatemala. Ben and Nelda Hand and their two kids, daughter and son, literally under gunfire, fleeing out of Nicaragua. We met them in Guatemala. Honduras, during that time, was called the Eye of the Storm. At that time, with the exception of Haiti, was considered the poorest nation in the third world. It was a piece of cake. They weren't even considering Honduras, because once the others fell, Honduras would be a given. God called my dad to Honduras. Many of you in here probably are not aware. Those of you around the world are aware. It's not something my dad brought up very often, but he is known in Honduras as the father of the Honduran revival of the 80s. He can't go down there. He avoids going down there. It's not his style. He doesn't like it, because when they find out, they drag him into radio stations and into TV studios to honor this humble man who does not want to accept that kind of accolades. It's the Lord's. But he went at a time when everything was upside down. One of his first visits, and he could tell you this story better, so all my facts may not be exactly right, but the gist of it is this. Within a short time of being in Honduras, he went to a ministerial meeting where all of the pastors in unison were already speaking of how they were going to function in an underground church. They'd already heard the stories of Cuba, of Nicaragua, the things that were taking place in El Salvador, and they had already set their sail and set their hearts for defeat and how they were going to function in that kind of a system. My dad stood up in a ministerial meeting that represented pastors from all of the nation and said, God did not send me to raise up a ministry and do what he's called me to do in a nation that has fallen to communism and do it from the underground church. He said, we need to stand up, have a voice, begin to stand against this evil. He believed in a name that is above every name. Let me remind you of another verse. Colossians 2:15 says he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show over them, openly triumphing over them in it. This is not just a cute little poetic phrase to help us cope and get by. That speaks of the power of the name of Jesus, of the person of Jesus, who now lives and dwells in us by the presence and person of the Holy Spirit. How many can shout in the house today? He stood up. He was laughed at, made fun of. But there were a group of men who heard what he had to say. And to make a long story short, what didn't happen in the other nations, the main kingpin of the leftist insurgency of Honduras was brought down by a fluke. A girlfriend who got mad, very mad, went and exposed and reported him, and the heart, in just a few weeks of standing and declaring that evil be exposed, that this nation will hear the gospel, that we will remain free, he was laughed at. Mocked. I met some of those men personally. I know them. They repented later as they saw a nation turn in the middle. The weakest nation, the eye of the storm, turn. And Honduras was exposed to a mighty move of God. You waiting on somebody else? Or will you stand and trumpet prophetically the truth that our God reigns? The freedoms we enjoy today didn't come because men were passive and sat on their hands. Jesus, as I said last week, even told his disciples, he said, pray and watch. No, he didn't say that. That's what we super spiritual people would do. Got to put prayer first. He said, eyes wide open, aware of the day that you live in, looking in every direction. While you're doing that, pray. Watch and pray. And amidst the promise of those who would be persecuted and martyred, and beaten and imprisoned, There was a promise hidden in there that for those who believe, not one hair of their head would be touched. You read it. Luke 20, it's fascinating. I'm here glad for Jesus today. Name that is above every name. Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I'm here glad for Jesus today. All right, can I read my sermon? I don't ever read a sermon. I'm going to read a sermon just like a Presbyterian. Say, God bless the Presbyterians. Especially today. Fill them with the Holy Ghost and fire. Take them off guard. Be standing in the pulpit and just shut up. What happened? It's happened. I've seen it. Say, what was that? Hang around. You'll find out. Last week, in my effort to convey alarm concerning current events and importance for us to be aware and in the know as believers, I feel I made a mistake in trying to source everything I said to validate what I was saying to really drive home the gravity of the situation that we face. I feel this week for me to try to do the same thing would be futile. It is up to you as believers to be informed, to study, to know for yourselves the truth about what is going on. Not to be idle and make lazy decisions about what you believe based on well-prepared headlines put forward by mainstream media and what is aptly referred to as the fake news. I also realize that there are those of you, and I understand your grievance, that are uncomfortable with me dealing with this subject on a Sunday morning. I know that there are some that say, we hear about all this negative stuff all week. We don't want to come to church and have to hear more. In large part, my calling is an exhorter and an encourager. I worship and sometimes prophesy in the flow of preaching, and that is my heart and my calling, but I take serious what the Holy Spirit spoke through Paul to young Timothy and Lee Shaw and others like you. That I have a grave responsibility to preach all Scripture given by inspiration of God that will profit you for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that every one of you may be proficient. Say proficient. Proficient. Come on. Yes. Having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. We must remember though, that this is not a place of entertainment or mind rest for a couple of hours from our normal world. This should be our normal world. And it is in this place, along with encouragement and relief and release, we are also challenged to not be ignorant of Satan's devices, to be sober and be vigilant. As Peter said, to study to show ourselves approved. As Paul told Timothy, to be challenged to walk the Spirit-filled life. And we cannot honestly do so while ignoring what is taking place all around us right now. Once again, we are called to be salt and light, Matthew 5. That means we have an effect. Once receiving the truth, truth believed upon, should stir us to action, and that action should have an effect on the world we live in. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
I think you can do better than that.
Amen.
A lot of empty seats. Let's fill them up.
Amen.
All right, here we go. There are some things that I will say. Do with it what you will. I feel that I can say with full confidence and with full authority now. I'm not going to try to source it all. I got in trouble the week before last, and last week I can't. But I can say with all boldness, with all confidence, and with full authority backed up by professionals all over the world who are being shut up, shut down, expunged from social media, but they keep coming out, and their voice is unified, those in the know. Leading medical people, scientists, biochemists, virologists, immunologists, all over the world, doing their best to be heard and get the truth out, and are categorically, systematically being shut down and removed from social media. The simple facts are this. There is a virus. Duh. We've always had virus. We've had some dangerous viruses. And we have never reacted this way ever before. It is no more dangerous, and I'm going to say this, and you can go fill in the blanks. But now I can say it before the Lord, standing here with full confidence. Not just because I have an inside track, like you do by the Holy Ghost, but if you're paying attention, if you're watching not just what is being said and proven, but the inconsistency of those who try to drive their narrative, force it, impose it upon us. Listen, it is no more dangerous than the common flu. It's not. You follow the true numbers. How many of you have looked up the website? If you didn't, I'm going to say it in the Grace Church. Shame on you if you're afraid and confused and wondering and you didn't even bother to look up the website. Do you remember? The Swedish website. Now, if you're not afraid and it's not a big deal, I'm not saying shame on you. You got it. But if you are and you were here and you didn't even bother to look, but you're scared running, I got a word for you today, Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee. I'm not calling you wicked, but I want you to see a principle. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Don't run when you don't know what you're running from. God has not given you the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Are you here today? I get myself in real trouble, but we're going to keep on rolling. The powers that be have taken this opportunity to weaponize and promote information concerning so-called COVID-19 and are seizing upon. Let me back up and finish that. There is a virus. It is no more dangerous than the common flu. It's time to wake up and realize that we are being lied to on every front. Are you aware of that yet? Bald face, open, constant lies. And every time they're exposed, they shift gears. How many times has the CDC itself, which by the way, I want to correct something that I said in my passion while I was wild-eyed and spitting all over the front preaching. The Center for Disease Control is a federal entity. What I meant to identify was the Center for Disease Control Foundation, which Bill Gates is heavily involved in, is a 501c3. And they wield the power to direct what is going on with that federal agency. And that's a lot of what is going on right now. And every time something changes, they move the goalpost. That's not truth. Truth stands firm, never moves. That alone ought to wake you up. Are you here today? So, back where I was at, the powers that be have taken this opportunity to weaponize and promote information concerning so-called COVID-19 and are seizing upon the opportunity by inciting fear in the public around the world and guilt. That if you don't comply, that you will unwittingly infect others with this dangerous disease for the purpose of controlling our every move. Stand on this spot. Walk this direction in this aisle if you're a good citizen. Be responsible. Wear a mask. Don't kill others. The people that have started this mess don't love people at all. They're doing everything they can to destroy this nation, destroy our economy, destroy our healthcare system, destroy our food supply. Everything they can because they hate one man. Because he champions Judeo-Christian ethic and America that believes in God, and he stands in the way of their globalist view. I'm not saying he's a savior. You better not put your faith and trust in Trump. It better be in Jesus. But in the meantime, you watch and pray. And what I'm seeing right now, I don't have a better option anywhere in view than a man who's willing to fight like he has with no accolades for the right stuff. Hidden largely from public via YouTube and Facebook. Let me finish that. Stand on this spot. Walk this direction south. If you're a good citizen, be responsible. Wear a mask so you don't kill others. It's all a lie. People, it's time to wake up and realize, those of you that are watching via YouTube, if this is still up, it's a lie. I know it in my heart of hearts, and so do you. It is a lie. The real numbers by the top minds in Sweden and in Europe that can't get their voices say the death rate is lower than the average typical seasonal flu. They're lying to you about New York City when you strip away all the nonsense. It's a 0.6? It's nothing. I mean, it's sad that people die, but they die with every flu. They die with colds. But information has been distorted and weaponized. Let me continue. Hidden largely from public view via YouTube and Facebook. In other words, they're hidden. They're not allowed to express themselves in those forums. I didn't say that very well. Our voices of anger and passion against Bill Gates and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Men and women in the Parliament of Italy standing with passion and tears, crying out. And they won't even let it happen. They won't even show it in the U.S. in our language. Keeping it off of YouTube as a man cries out and calls a spade, say you're lying to the world. A lady just a couple of days ago, Bruce showed it to me, I couldn't believe it. She stood and called them out, had all her information together, and I was proud of the man leading that parliament who said, let her speak. Was it in English? No. Can't hardly find it. As they're saying, we were lied to, this is all a lie. We know exactly where this is coming from. And they came against, is it Prime Minister? It would be Prime Minister of Italy. And said, are you going to stand up for what is right and for us? Are you going to continue your little buddy system with Bill Gates? It's destroying us and the world. They stand with passion exposing the abuse of numbers and so-called models and curves, by the way, that were designed by Bill Gates, who has everything to gain, to everything, yeah, that too, has everything to earn, everything to gain, because the spirit, it's not, don't hate him, pray for him, but the spirit of Antichrist functions through him. There is no God. We are God. We're in charge of our death. We must save the planet. Therefore, the means justifies the end. Let me keep reading. So-called models purposely proven tactics to incite fear. This has long been planned very, very well. To prolong a so-called pandemic, which, by the way, everybody say pandemic. The definition, if you dig a little deeper, you'll find out that the definition of a pandemic was changed by the WHO. Huh? WHO was changed so that lesser viruses could be included in that for God knows what reason. Hello. Pandemic baloney. I don't know who said it, but I love it. Plandemic is what it is. The problem is not a virus. The problem is fear. And God has not given you a spirit of fear. Drive that out. Stand. Let, as you proclaim the name of Jesus with boldness, let your immune system surge. It ain't all from vitamins. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I'm so blessed, no knocking on wood either, to have a strong immune system. Stuff tries to bump into me for a few hours, and I can shake it off. You better watch it, Lee. No, you better watch it. What are you doing? You hoping I get sick because I said that? Let's stand. Let's believe God. Yes, I have battles just like you. My wife's in a battle. That woman's super faith. She's in a battle. Believe God with us, but we have the power of God in us. Stand and let your voice be heard. It's time to wake up. These are not conspiracy theories. Donald Trump is right. There is a deep state, and it spreads farther than just the U.S. A godless group of billionaires who believe the future of our planet is in their hands, not God's. Bill Gates has been quoted repeatedly as saying a 10 to 15% reduction in the population of the world would greatly benefit the quality and the success of our future. Go online and look for TED Talks and see what that demon-possessed individual spouts out with the money to back it. And he said the vaccines would help. He's on record. I've also got a video that is weird. Live video of him talking about a part of the vaccines that affect the brain, and their goal is to get religious people, their brain literally altered, to calm them down. They can mess with my brain all they want, but they don't understand it ain't about the brain. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside. John G. Lake, during, was it the bubonic plague? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. They literally put the disease on his hands and it died on his hands. Where's your heart? Where is your belief? Is it run and hide? Here comes a tribulation. Jesus is going to take us out of here on a great big spaceship. Jesus will return one more time. And he will return to rule and reign right here forever. That's Bible. And he'll do it when he's ready. Actually, he'll do it when the Father's ready. We okay? I'll take a breath. Okay. He and other globalist billionaires have been openly expressed their disdain for God and the Christian right, openly stating that we are in the way. Quoted, I've seen it, we're in the way of progress. Religious fanatics tick him off more than anything else. He says it glibly, relaxed. It is a heart belief of his. Remove them, however, so that we can get on with the main thing. For the good. Bill Gates openly supports abortion, euthanasia, and other demonically induced forms of population control. I spoke to you about TEDx. Look them up for yourself. He was behind and part of the formation of the models we're using today to project the purposeful prolonging of the effect of COVID-19. I got news for you. They've lied to you. Our lock-in, lockdown, shutdown, whatever you want to call it, isolation does not stop this disease. You will at some point come in contact and probably contract this disease. Sooner or later, it will run its course. Are you fired up enough and in the Holy Ghost enough and awake enough? Somebody asked Brother Summerall years ago, can a Christian have a demon? He doesn't believe a Christian can have a demon, as in demon possessed. Now he said demon oppression is when a Christian, through deception, opens the door to demonic entities, and they can look very similar. But he said, I'm here to tell you the Bible says a demon and Jesus can't cohabitate in the new creation. And he said, if you've done a lot of this, which I've seen and experienced my own ministry overseas, there's a big difference between possessed and oppressed. Are you with me? But in reference to that, he said, can a Christian have a demon? He said, here's the easiest way to answer that. He said, a fly won't land on a hot stove. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled, continually filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual. There's a stove that's on fire. We doing all right? Oh, boy. Fact. I said it a minute ago, let me reiterate it. Everyone will be reached by the virus at some point. If you're hiding and weak, hang on. If you're strong and defiant, but even in that, listen how subtle what just happened. Even I just now, without even realizing what I did, bought into its strength. You catch that? I don't. But it slipped out because it's so the mantra. I'll be a little bolder. I'll say you don't even need to worry about it. It's ridiculous. Nonsense. The worst hoax ever perpetrated on the world. But for very evil purposes. For their intents and purposes of shutting down our economy, our hospitals, health programs, government is a complete attempt at strong-arming Americans to submit to a globalist view and vision, save the planet. He's behind the global tattoo that will identify every global citizen, is actively pursuing the development of apps used for contact tracing and identification of people using COVID-19 as its catalyst. Governments all over the world, including ours, are being pressured to accept surveillance methods that are as bad or worse than what we've already seen in communist and social ruled run nations. I don't know for sure. I'll just throw it out there. Bruce and I were coming back the other day. We went down and we're fishing at Bartlett, coming back up the interstate. And of course, every big thing, COVID-19. You got to keep the fear in your face. Why? Because what you're unaware of is that they are building an army with our Doug Ducey, Governor Doug Ducey, with his permission. Contact tracing army right there in Phoenix. They're putting out right now, hiring people by the hundreds, not the teens, hundreds to amass a force to stop the danger right here in Arizona. When it trickles up here, I want to challenge you to do something. Anybody tattletales on you, you make sure you, listen, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying right now. You get their name. Because when this blows up and turns around, some people are going to pay the price for treason. Are you believing this is going to turn around, or are you already caving? Would you stand with me and my dad for this nation? Somebody tattles on you, you get their name. You get their phone number. You get their address and let them know I'm recording who you are. When did we start tucking and running? You get their name and number. And let them know, when this blows the wrong way, buddy, I'm going to be coming after you. You got to start thinking outside of the box. Be angry and sin not. This is not a sissy religion. Christians are not called to be doormats. Paul was not that kind of guy. Jesus, through supernatural wisdom, confronted the issues of his day, dealt with where government stands and where God's government stands. Let what belongs to Caesar be Caesar's, but let that which is God's be God's. Calm down, Leiford. Okay, here we go. We were coming back up the highway. Bruce said the other day when he was down at Pleasant a couple weeks ago, came back, he said, it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. No explanation, nothing. It said, drones surveying, do not report. Are they surveying land? I'll tell you what's not coming out in the news, what's happening all over the world and all over the U.S. right now, is drone surveillance on the public, monitoring traffic, vehicles, license plates, the whole deal. You better wake up. It's time to wake up. They are and will continue to target American freedoms, God-given rights, and more specifically, the evangelical church and Christians in particular. Our problem is not a virus or a pandemic, but a demonically induced attempt at seizure and override of sovereign nations, personal freedoms, God-given independence, all in the name of saving the world. In the meantime, we are called to be salt and light, not hide truth under a bushel. Matthew 5, our voices must be heard. Paul tells us in Ephesians to reprove works of darkness, to speak the truth in love. You are being lied to categorically on every front. Recognize it, see it, and stand. Educate yourself, because if you're idly being educated by headlines, you are being duped. It amazes me, the Christians that have swallowed the lies. Doctors have tried to come out 3 or 4 times last week to talk about how dangerous these masks are to our health, and that they do absolutely nothing on either end to help anything. The only place they are vital is in an operating room area. And they said even there, they're not the greatest shield. But they're something. They're another level. What, Pastor? Man, you're listening to a bunch of conspiracy theories. You better wake up. Sally, I got your email. This is the stuff we're dealing with. That's nuts. Right here in Prescott. I'll let her tell it if she wants to at some point. You're being lied to on every front, and once again, third Sunday in a row, I'm crying out and begging you to listen to what the Holy Spirit is already speaking inside your spirit. Once again, Paul's words prophetically come forward, "Awake thou that sleepest, and God will give you light." More than inferred in that verse is your responsibility. You awaken. Awaken yourself. Wake up! And if you'll put forward that effort, God will shed light on that effort. He'll open stuff up. But as long as you're just sitting, well, the Lord knows, God's in control. Really? So what do you do with James 4:7? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Don't give me that distorted understanding of the sovereignty of God. Nonsense. He is so sovereign that when he gave dominion in the earth to man and it was stolen by the devil, he still honored his word. And it hasn't changed. That's why the devil could stand up among the sons of God without fear of retribution in the book of Job. And God didn't give Job to the devil. He simply acknowledged something that already was. He said, there he is. Just don't touch his body. And the first thing the devil did, without fear of recourse, is hit him with boils. I love how in the book of Job, most good Baptists, God bless the Baptists, I love you, I love what they're doing right now, but most of Baptist theology takes the book of Job's and tries to explain how that God uses the devil as the hound of heaven. But they didn't read all the way to the end, where a man named Elihu, very interesting man. Once again, we see the dynamic of the fourth man in Scripture. In my opinion, fully studied, a Christophany, who speaks in unison with God, without correction from God, and makes one big statement that so much doctrinal confusion is based on. Jehovah does not afflict. And in the last chapter, he says, I had heard of him. Now I've seen him, and he repented of all that he said. That is all those chapters that they base bad doctrine on. God is not behind this. God is not exercising judgment on America through COVID-19. Even men that I know, it breaks my heart, their heart is right, but in the faith camp, standing and prophesying against COVID-19 and rebuking this disease. And I'm like, bless their hearts, they don't even realize they're rebuking something that may be a little stronger than the cold. But it's a national disaster. They've bought into it. Could I use a worn out cliche phrase? Don't drink the stinking Kool-Aid. Holy schmoly. Last week I did my best to stress Jesus' words. The disciples, watch and pray. I think it's interesting he didn't say pray and watch. His warning was eyes wide open to everything around, both in the physical and spiritual, while you pray. And I'll lead you through the mess. How many can embrace that? You don't need to worry about getting COVID-19, largely a harmless virus. 90% of those who get it don't even know they had it. And those that have it, theoretically, know so because of a faulty test that the inventor and designer said, this is an abuse of this test. It doesn't tell you you have COVID. It tells you that you have genetic material that identifies inflammation. So that's why somebody that my daughter knows that works at Dutch Bros, his friend was killed in a car wreck in Phoenix, and he was listed in the paper as died of COVID. Wake up! That's real right now, first. Okay? Fauci, Bursa, and the CDC continue to move the goalposts, change their minds, retract statements. You hear the one just a couple of days ago? Big news. Boop! Did you hear it? No, you didn't hear it because due diligence, they had to put it out there, but they're going to keep it out there? No, because it makes them look like fools. Now they're retracting. They retracted the statement that it lives for as long as it does on hard surfaces. Does the word lie mean anything to you? When the truth keeps adjusting to fit the narrative, we're not hearing truth. I know this isn't for you. It's largely for people on the video. I'm preaching to the choir, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm encouraging you today to rise up and be bold. Open your mouth. Maybe there is an appropriate time for us to organize groups that will peacefully protest. Go to the Capitol. Well, today we're honoring men who paid in blood. I don't like that kind of stuff any more than you do because it's been abused by wacko extremists. Turn or burn! Got some hideous sign of an aborted fetus in your face. There's a place for that, by the way, but it's not on the street. Or maybe, I don't know. I'm starting to shift. Because while we've been playing the PC game, we're losing our freedoms left and right. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and God will give you light. But you got to do the waking up. There is no exact science here. If there was a real, listen to this. I didn't hear this from anybody, just observing. If there was a real death virus in the land, everyone, without exception, would be locked down with a regulated, uniform medical answer for a determined time with an end. And we'd all be doing it the same. I wouldn't be in Del Taco, in Anthem, with this poor little teenager with her gloves on. And I can see smudges all over the rubber on the gloves. And her mask is hanging down like this, and she keeps reaching up and going,
Two of the kids don't have masks. The manager doesn't have a mask. Somebody sitting at a table does. Somebody else doesn't. We can congregate at Home Depot and Costco, but we can't congregate in church. Baloney. Do you understand what they're doing? They're slick. They knew the church would be sensitive about being isolated and targeted. They're too smart for that. But it's you, my brother and sister, that they're after. You stand in their way. And whether you like it or not, and those of you saying the things that you shouldn't, God forgive you on Facebook that aren't here. I don't worship Trump. But he stands unfalteringly for my values at no gain, with much loss. I don't know how in the world any human being could withstand what he has withstood and still stands and says, we're having church this Sunday and you can go fly a kite. Now, there's a lot of other things that I would like him to say. Sometimes I'm like, please! I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, nor do you. Maybe we shouldn't know, but you should be praying and believing and standing strong and voicing and doing what you can. This is not a joke. It's not a conspiracy theory. Governor Gavin Newsom, in response to President Trump's executive order for churches to open, spoke of the radical push to hire and train so-called tracers in the state of California. He specifically mentioned this dire need because of this virus, dangerous virus, for contact tracing to be implemented. He said, we must trace quarantine. Yes, he is Pelosi's son, nephew. He said, we must trace, quarantine, and isolate individuals who have come in contact with anyone else who has COVID-19. Scary, right? Right here in Arizona, Doug Ducey, and I already mentioned that. And what they talked about in California and right here was what to do with the children they would remove from your home. What they would do with the children to put them in an isolated and safe place of their keeping. That's not America. And I'm being intimidated? Pastor Lee, church, you're supposed to preach the gospel, not politics. This isn't politics, people. This is called wake up. How many have seen the movie Patriot? Finally, a young lady, you said, stood and said, it's time. You're sitting around here praying. When are you going to stand up and fight? It's time to stand up, speak up, get involved, write petitions, join petitions. They're available to us. Gina, can you get your stuff ready and come tell people? A couple of those places. Right now, I mean right, and just go ahead and have it ready. I want you to do it in the mic here in just a few minutes, so be ready. More than ever before, we need to support our president, those that stand with him. I was so proud of him last week, openly given an executive order that churches across the United States would be open for worship, declared an executive order essential. He said point blank, any governor that resists this will deal with me. Any governor that has a problem can call me, but he's not going to get very far because this stands. I call on all of you, all of us. Use your talents. Webmasters, build websites. Writers, social media, whatever you do. Twitter, I don't understand half that stuff. This is my area. But many of you, especially you younger, you have a great opportunity. Blast, voice, educate yourself. Know, do something, say something. Don't sit idly by. We didn't get these freedoms that we enjoy today because people stood idly by. There may come a time we have responsibility to organize peaceful protests. I think I already mentioned that. I'm reading. James said, if you have faith, show me your works. One of the worst things we can do as believers is to possess truth. Listen to me. One of the worst things we can do as believers is to possess truth. truth revealed and withhold it for any reason. All of the signers of the Declaration of Independence knew that that very action, their signature, if they lost the fight, would cost every single one of them the penalty of death. But they believed in a God-defined, God-directed future for this great nation. And today, we honor all those who have paid this price for our freedom. Watch and pray. Now, I feel that I've done to the best of my ability what I need to do. I can't come in here every week and do this. I can't let current events dictate how and what I preach. I understand that. But I am not going to shirk any longer my responsibility to call a spade when it comes to politics. I'm not going to back off any more of rebuking, and if need be, openly. This is why we're where we're at. With all the love I can muster. But I want to carry on with our message. I want to carry on with proclaiming Jesus. I don't want anybody out there watching my video think that this is what we're all about. If you have been, we have just started recording recently, but those of you that come to this church every Sunday, all you hear every week is Jesus, 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 and Jesus in you and through you and for you in every way that I can bring it to play, to encourage and to strengthen. That's all I talk about. But I would be desperately remiss if while this is going on, I don't have the guts to say what needs to be said. It's not so much that I have guts. I just can't lie to me, nor can I lie to you. All of this I'd like to start here next week. And take just a little bit more time, not so much to deal with the current. I think we've hammered that. Now, as updates come, I'm going to deal with them. So get used to that. There's going to be a part of this. We're going to just now shut the valve off and not talk about it. No, we're going to talk about it. I'm just not going to tell you the entire message. We're going to preach Jesus. We're going to preach the gospel. But we're also going to apply it because we are called to be salt and light. And right now, the salt and light that is needed is to shine a light on demonic activity that is seeking to steal freedom, to hamper and damper and shut down the move of God and the people of God. So we will continue. I'm not saying, I'm just not going to take like I did today, last week, and the week before. I feel like we've made our point. So as we're preaching the gospel, as we're moving forward, I'm going to keep us updated, keep you in the know, give you places that you can visit, places that you can see the truth. What I want to take, though, is a week or two, we'll see how long it takes, to show you in Scripture why I now believe I have an obligation to speak about politics. Not to be a politician or defend one party or another, but if we're called to be light and salt, and we are called to do good works and to love our neighbor, every government that has been formed that did good for its people was founded. You look at it. Or had a restoration or revival or a turnaround or repentance. It is the gospel that has made the difference through history. That's not political as much as it is defending the faith. And if you want to call that political, then so be it. Not only that, our nation has a history of the church actively being involved. The laws of our land are based originally on God's law, which they're trying hard to remove. I don't have time today. We'll do it next week. A tremendous message on the Ten Commandments and how it's affecting us, each one nationally, not just individually. Pastor Lee, I thought you weren't a Ten Commandments guy. I never said that. I said, if you're born again, you no longer relate to the Father via the law. For the law was abolished in this regard. When you come alive in Christ, you now have a new law written in your heart. Romans 8:1-2 say, there is therefore now no fear of punishment any longer in Christ Jesus. The rest of that verse was added by translators, doesn't exist. The next verse says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the Big Ten. Yes, the law of sin and death as defined in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That which was written in stone. The law of condemnation and the law of death. That which was glorious must be done away so that that which is much more glorious. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. An announcement after he clearly says, Christ remains veiled, hidden from the hearers. Where men stand in the temples and preach the law. So I'm not going back to the law for you and I as a believer. But you better be careful when you think that we preach around here that because of grace, that the law is not important, that it is not good, that it is not righteous, that it is not holy, and that it doesn't stand forever, for it does. We need it in our schoolhouse. We need it. Sorry, Andy Stanley. We need it in the courthouse. We need it in the schools. We need it in our Capitol buildings. For that law shows truth, righteousness, and justice. And Paul said the law remains, for the law is for the lawless. I'm thankful for the Big Ten. I just don't relate to my father through the Big Ten anymore. Because I got the greater one living on the inside of me. Somebody ought to be shouting in here by now. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about Daniel, Jeremiah, others who through the supernatural working of God worked their way up in the politics of their kingdoms, found their voice, withstood unrighteous kings, brought repentance to kingdoms, and watched God set his people free. Salt and light. I want to deal with the simple aspect. Not this week. You can relax. We're done. I've touched on it several times. I want to hit my little sermon. The opposite of fear is not just faith. James chapter 1. The opposite of fear is double-mindedness. The design of fear is to get you double-minded, confused, and wavering in all your ways. Let truth be found. Let truth be heard. Let truth be trumpeted. Prophesy, this is not the end, but the beginning of great things in God. Stand, speak, declare. For our weapons are not only the voting booth, only in signing petitions. Do those things. Let your works identify your faith. But our faith is not in those works. Those works are a result of a faith, because we understand that the weapons of our warfare are not in those carnal things. The first place is in the Spirit. And Jesus describes that kind of prayer. Shoulders squared, eyes wide open. If you would say unto this mountain, be removed. Come on, would you stand with me this morning? Would you say it out loud with me? Demonic forces of hell, in the name of Jesus, the name that is higher than you are. We resist you and rebuke you. Call you to naught. Come on, people, are you here today? Call into confusion. You've sought to confuse us, but we call into confusion your camp. So that even the leper can rejoice. You remember that story? Oh, man. Old Testament, I don't have time. Father God, today we stand as the people of God, unashamed. Come on, are you here today? I've got you. I haven't forgotten you. Unashamed and unafraid. No. Come here. No, I know that. Unashamed and unafraid. Boy, I could go on for another hour, but I've got to stop. Father, thank you for your people today. Would you lift your hands up all over the room? Lift up your hands all over the room. Now, I want you to hear this verse. We're so guilty of quoting verses till they come cliche. And when verses become cliche, you don't receive the power from them like you should. Awaken and hear this verse, Romans 5:17. Death reigned for a long time. My paraphrase. By one. But for those who were received today, come on, is your hands up all over this? I'm a receiver, man, I'm here. For those who received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these will reign in life. Are you awake? Are you in reigning mode? Don't let all this stop your ability to lift your hands and receive. Father, today I thank you for the spirit of grace. Come on, people of God, right now, for the spirit of grace. For the spirit of wisdom, for the spirit of boldness on every single person in this room. Let this, what's the devil intended to trample people down, lift people into a whole nother level in Jesus and in boldness. For this purpose, not to win a political argument. No. Not to win any kind of an argument. But that in and through all of this, our works, as Jesus said, would be seen by all men and they would glorify God. That's Matthew 5. Are you here today? I don't know if I got the right scripture or not. You might have to check me out. You know the one where he says that our works would be manifest. So I thank you for the spirit of wisdom. Spiritual eyes that are open. Removing the scales. Unafraid. Happy. Bold. I go to town, it makes me mad, and I find myself in retreat mode, and it takes me a while to recover. It just makes me angry. I'm not saying that's the right response. I'm saying I have to get a hold of myself. Paul said, gird up the loins of your mind. Awaken. Don't let that happen. Leaford, stop! Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Sally, let me hear what the Lord's given to you. I'm on you, silly Mike. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Gina, where are you?
I see the word of God going out through the universe, and I see explosions of creation. And I keep hearing the word dunamis, dunamis, dunamis. And the Lord would say this morning, you have been given by inheritance dunamis power. Dunamis power, creative power, creative power. In my name, in that mighty name of Jesus, in the word of God coming forth from your mouth, it will create. Stand, stand. Let it rise up. Let it come forth. Let it leave your mouth. See the creative power of the word of God. Take your inheritance. Stand in it. Move with it. Do not be afraid. Stand on my word. Stand in my power. Stand. Let it be creative. Let it create from your mouth. Prophesy it. Begin to speak the word of God. You have dunamis. Dunamis power within you. Let it explode. Let it come forth. Release it. Release it. Release it.
or dunamis, power on the inside of you. Young couples with young children, young couples without children, children to be, there's a snaky little inroad put forth by the devil himself, because nothing reaches closer to home than our babies, to put you into fear via your children. Stand eyes wide open and yell, liar. Here's our promise from Isaiah 54. You'll be established in righteousness, your children, and oppression will be far from you. You live your days with birthday cakes and songs. Are you hearing me today by the Spirit of God? I'm telling you, you don't need to be afraid. Stand, enjoy your life. Know when to turn the switch off. Be mom and dad. Love, don't react to fear. Let those baby boys and baby girls grow up in a home where Jesus is lifted up, where there's security and strength. Don't you be afraid. Be of good cheer, for He has overcome the world. I write unto you, young men, because you, this is what John said, have overcome the world. You have your babies. Fall in love. Raise families. It's not over. There's not a 7-year tribulation coming up around the corner. I'm sorry. We're going to blow that apart. Boy, that really, I probably just blew everything right there. I'll tell you what is going to happen. Our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when He returns, that's going to be the end of the story. And it could happen any moment. If you're listening by video today, if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, it is as simple as this. Paul put it this way: if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He, Jesus, was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Heart belief manifested through a confession of faith delivers eternal life to you. The Bible says that when we do that, He makes us a brand new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, any one is in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have been made new. So today, everybody in the house, eyes wide open, shoulders back, everybody looking around, would you confess this truth in prayer with those who today are coming to Jesus? You don't need to be afraid. Today, you don't have to wonder if He loves you. It's through this prayer that He comes to live within you, that the reality that we all rejoice in, greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world, that His great love for me cast out all fear. So today I invite you to pray this prayer with me and receive the work of God. For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you would believe, you would receive eternal life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn you, like so much of religion has done, but rather to save you because He loves you. Verse 17. Everybody praying together with those who join us. Are you ready? Jesus, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit into the world to let me know that I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and shedding your blood. Right now, I believe with all of my heart. And with my mouth, I confess that you are Lord. I invite you into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. Thank you for forgiving me of all sin.
I believe that you were raised from the dead for my justification. Thank you for saving me now. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. You prayed that prayer for the first time. I want you to know that heaven is rejoicing. Nothing more important. When he comes to live on the inside, let me tell you something. There's nothing like the peace of God. God bless you today. Open up his word. Find a church. Get involved. If you're here and you've never prayed, I think I know everybody here, but that's the most important thing you could ever do. I want to encourage you. Move on. There's something called the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Don't stop. Keep on rolling. Take everything God's got for you. Power to be witnesses. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. Have you been blessed today? Hadn't this been awesome? Thank you, Lord.